Deuteronomy chapter 28. Father, sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command you this day, that the Lord your God will set you on high above all nations of the earth. The Israelites had been redeemed from slavery as a gift from God. Being able to enjoy their redemption, however, was dependent on their obedience to God's commands. Verse 2, and all these blessings shall come on you and overtake you, if you shall hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God. If Israel obeys, God's blessings will overtake them. That is, his blessings will catch up to them wherever they are in Israel and whatever they may be doing. And there's a principle here for us. Sometimes there is a gap. Sometimes there is a period of testing between our obedience to God and the blessings of obedience. But if we hang in there, his blessings will overtake us. They'll catch up to us. And so verse 3 says, blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the field. Really doesn't matter where they are located, the blessings will still come to them. Verse 4. Blessed shall be the fruit of your body. Talking about children. Bless children, happy children. And the fruit of your ground, crops, will be blessed. And the fruit of your cattle, the increase of your kine, and the flocks of your sheep. Blessed shall be your basket and your store. In other words, the storehouses are going to be full. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. No time limit on their blessings. It's just as long as they obey, everything's going to be great. And so every area of life would be touched by God's blessing. Health, business, farming, you name it. It would all be prosperous. It would all be good if they obey God, which is a reward in and of itself, of course. Verse 7. The Lord shall cause your enemies who rise up against you to be smitten before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee before you seven ways. And that's because the Lord's going to fight for Israel. Verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon you in your storehouses and in all that you set your hand unto. And he shall bless you in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Failure will not be a part of Israel's vocabulary if they walk with the Lord. Verse 9, the Lord shall establish you and holy people unto himself, as he has sworn unto you, if you shall keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. And again, we see the condition of obedience is told the people. If they want God's blessing, that's just the way it has to be. Verse 10, and all the people of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. No one in their right mind would pick on Israel if they realize that they're God's very own people. And this is so clearly the case if they're being blessed so tremendously above everyone else. Verse 11, and the Lord shall make you plentiful in goods, in the fruit of your body, and in the fruit of your cattle, and in the fruit of your ground, in the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers to give you. Everything is going to be bountiful. Everything is going to be in abundance. 12, the Lord shall open unto you his good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto your land in his season, and to bless all the work of your hand. And you shall lend unto many nations, and you shall not borrow. No need to borrow. God has a huge, actually an infinite supply of blessings up in heaven. And if Israel will walk with him, the pipeline of blessing will be wide open, and they're going to prosper at all points. There's no need to borrow when the pipeline is flowing. 13. And the Lord shall make you the head and not the tail, and you shall be above only, and you shall not be beneath, if that you hearken unto the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day to observe and to do them. Verse 14. And you shall not go aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. And that certainly isn't unreasonable, is it? In light of how good God is. God says that Israel will be the head, not the tail. In other words, they would be the leader among nations and not a follower. The thing that makes a nation great in the eyes of the world is moral goodness. The world will look to a nation like that for direction and for leadership. Even if they're not good themselves, they can trust someone who is good, or a nation that is good. 15. But it shall come to pass, if you will not hearken unto the voice of the Lord your God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Look at verse 16. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. And so as the blessings were comprehensive, the curse will also be comprehensive. 17, cursed shall be your basket and store. So the storehouses will be empty. Verse 18, cursed shall be the fruit of your body and the fruit of your land, the increase of your kind and the flocks of your sheep. Children are going to be sickly, if there are any at all. And the herds are going to be few. 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Nothing that they'll be able to do will be able to stop. Nothing that they try to do, I should say, will be successful in stopping this curse. Nothing except repentance. 20, the Lord shall send upon you cursing, vexation, and rebuke, in all that you set your hand unto for to do, until you be destroyed, and until you perish quickly, because of the wickedness of your doings, whereby you have forsaken me. If Israel rebels, nothing will make sense, and nothing will go right. Panic and mass confusion will be the rule of the day. 21. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto you until he has consumed you from off the land where you go to possess it. And so sickness is going to be rampant in the nation Israel. 22. The Lord shall smite you with a consumption and with a fever and with an inflammation and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, and with mildew, and they shall pursue you until you perish. They don't stand a chance unless they repent. Diseases are going to hit both people and vegetation and the herds. It's going to chase them down and kill them dead. And you know what? None of it would have to be. 23. And your heaven that is over your head shall be brass. In other words, prayers will not be heard. And the earth that is under you shall be iron. Crops will not grow. They don't grow too well in iron. 24. The Lord shall make the rain of your land powder and dust, so a drought. From heaven shall it come down upon you until you be destroyed. So the curses are going to come from heaven because of their disobedience. 25. The Lord shall cause you to be smitten before your enemies. You shall go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them, and shall be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth. So sin would put the nation Israel into reverse. Instead of their enemies running in a panic, they would panic. Instead of winning wars, they would lose wars. Verse 26. And your carcass shall be meat unto all the fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. So again, complete and utter defeat in battle. The defeats are going to be so massive that no one will be left to give the dead soldiers a decent burial. You're just looking at complete and total slaughter here. 27. The Lord will smite you with the botch of Egypt, and with the emrods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof you cannot be healed. What a sickening, disgusting existence for Israel if they rebel. Lord, is sin, I mean, honestly, is sin worth that? Think about it. And God is clearly no respecter of persons. If you obey him, he's your friend. If you rebel, watch out. His curse hits one as easily as it hits another. And God would strike Israel with the same boils with which he struck Egypt. 28. The Lord shall smite you with madness and blindness and astonishment of heart. So it's talking about fear and insanity. 29. And you shall grope at noonday as the blind gropes in darkness, and you shall not prosper in your ways, and you shall be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. They'll become a kingdom of losers. Everyone's going to hurt them. Everyone's going to steal from them. You shall betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. You shall build an house, and you shall not dwell therein. You shall plant a vineyard, and shall not gather the grapes thereof. So work is going to be in vain. Plans are going to fail. 31. Your ox shall be slain before your eyes, and you shall not eat thereof. Your ass shall be violently taken away from before your face, and shall not be restored to you. Your sheep shall be given unto your enemies, and you shall have none to rescue them. So, without God on their side, Israel is going to be completely helpless before her enemies. 32. Your sons and your daughters shall be given unto another people, and your eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in your hand, no power to change anything for the better. You're going to lose your children to others, and you won't be able to do anything to stop it. 33. The fruit of your land and all your labors shall a nation which you know not eat up, and you shall be only oppressed and crushed all waste. So all their hard labor is going to be wasted. 34. So that you shall be mad for the sight of your eyes which you shall see, because all they're going to see is bad. It's going to drive them crazy. 35. The Lord shall smite you in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of your foot unto the top of your head. Just a terrible thing. as a result of sinning against God. And we see from this that God is in control. He can heal, but he can also bring disease when he so chooses. 36. The Lord shall bring you and your king, which you shall set over you, unto a nation which neither you nor your fathers have known. And there shall you serve other gods, wood and stone, and you shall become an astonishment, a proverb, and a byword among all nations where the Lord shall lead you. If Israel doesn't voluntarily serve the one true God, they will be forced to serve false gods, gods that are nothing. Instead of being the world's leader, they will become the heart of the world's ridicule. They'll become a joke, a byword. Verse 38, you shall carry much seed out into the field and shall gather but little in, for the locusts shall consume it. You shall plant vineyards and dress them, but shall neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. You shall have olive trees throughout all your coast, but you shall not anoint yourself with the oil, for your olive shall cast its fruit. You shall beget sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All your trees and fruit of your land shall the locust consume. Add crop failure and economic depression to the list of bad things also. Israel is going to work hard and try their best, but God will frustrate them at every turn. Be like trying to win at target shooting by firing blanks. 43. The stranger that is within you shall get up above you very high, and you shall come down very low. It's talking about Gentiles and Israels. They're going to prosper in the land, but the Israelites won't. Just as God made a distinction between his people and the Egyptians down in Egypt, where he protected his people, now it's going to be the exact opposite. And notice 30 or 44, he shall lend to you, but you shall not lend to him. He shall be the head, and you shall be the tail. What a reversal from the way things were in Egypt. God had shown favor to Israel back in those days, while at the same time striking the Egyptians. But here God says Israel is going to feel the surgical strike of his wrath. And the foreigners are going to be the ones protected. Not that God is in favor of the foreigners who don't worship him either, but they're going to be his rod of correction, if nothing else. 45. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon you and shall pursue you and overtake you till you be destroyed, because you hearken not unto the voice of the Lord your God to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded you. The curse of sin is like an omnipotent bloodhound. Stays on the rebel's trail until it catches them and destroys them. It pursues, and it will eventually catch. 46. And they shall be upon you for a sign and for a wonder, and upon your seed forever. Things will be so reversed and so horrible for Israel that anyone with any measure of spiritual sense will know that God is the one who did it. This miraculous and judgmental intervention of God is going to be an everlasting warning for future Israelites. 47. Because you serve not the Lord your God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shall you serve your enemies, which the Lord shall send against you, in hunger and in thirst and in nakedness and in want of all things. And he shall put a yoke of iron upon your neck until he have destroyed you. The poor, pitiable, pathetic people of Israel. They had their original promised land blessings handed to them on a silver platter. But instead of responding with a joyful, thankful spirit of obedience toward God, just out of appreciation, they rebelled. And as a result, they lose it all. That's the warning. And in fact, that's exactly what did happen. 49. The Lord shall bring a nation against you from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flies, a nation whose tongue you shall not understand. That happened over and over again. 50. A nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of your cattle and the fruit of your land until you be destroyed, which also shall not leave you either corn, wine, or oil, or the increase of your kine, cows, that is, or flocks, or your sheep, until he have destroyed you. He's talking about complete destruction, total destruction. 52. And he shall besiege you in all your gates until your high and fenced walls come down, wherein you trusted, throughout all your land. And when he shall besiege you in all your gates throughout all your land, which the Lord your God has given you. When you walk away from the Lord, you're putting your trust in someone or something else, whatever it might be. Someone, something else will give you joy. You think someone, something else will give you security and contentment. You think. When people walk away from the living God, they construct other high walls, as it were, to trust in. Israel will do that, and those walls are going to crumble down, and they will be destroyed for their stupidity. 53. And you shall eat the fruit of your own body, the flesh of your sons and of your daughters, which the Lord your God has given you in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you. Look at 54. So that the man who is tender among you and very delicate, his eye shall be evil toward his brother and toward the wife of his bosom and toward the remnant of his children, which he shall leave. And there's not going to be any love in the family, only hatred that comes from desperation. Boy, the sin nature of man will come through. 55. So that he will not give to any of them of the flesh of his children whom he shall eat, because he has nothing left him in the siege and in the straitness wherewith your enemies shall distress you in all your gates. The tender and delicate woman among you, which would not adventure to set the sole of her foot upon the ground for delicateness and tenderness, her eyes shall be evil toward the husband of her bosom and toward her son and toward her daughter and toward her young one who comes out from beneath or between her feet and toward her children, which she shall bear, for she shall eat them for want of things secretly in the siege and straitness wherewith your enemy shall distress your gates. These verses speak clearly for themselves, don't they? man, how deep into corruption will a people go once they start disregarding the word of God? You see it right here. People who you would never dream could even hurt a fly actually did kill, did devour their own children. 58. If you will not observe to do all the words of this law that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord your God, then the Lord will make your plagues wonderful, and the plagues of your seed, even great plagues, and of long continuance, and sore sicknesses, and of long continuances. Moreover, he will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid of, and they shall cleave unto you. Also, every sickness and every plague which is not written in the book of this law, them will the Lord bring upon you until you be destroyed. I hear people say, well, God doesn't judge sin today. He's waiting for the tribulation period or the great white throne judgment to do that. Well, the Bible says three times in these four verses that the Lord will bring upon his people punishment. And since he clearly punished the Canaanites, and since he threatened to punish the Israelites, these people who say such things are going to have to show me where God says he won't do that anymore to anyone until the tribulation period. I'd like to know where in the world they get that from. That's just hyper-dispensationalism, slicing the word of God like it was a pie into their own little pieces that they invent, basically. What a ridiculous thing to say. 62. And you shall be left few in number, whereas you were as the stars of heaven for multitude, because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God. And it shall come to pass that as the Lord rejoiced over you to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land where you go to possess it. Israel, the great nation of God, would be exiled and scattered, and as a result, they're going to lose their national ID. 64. The Lord shall scatter you among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there you shall serve other gods, which neither you nor your fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shall you find no ease, neither shall the sole of your foot have rest, but the Lord shall give you there a trembling heart and failing of eyes and sorrow of mind, and your life shall hang in doubt before you, and you shall fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of your life. In the morning you shall say, would God it were evening, and at evening you shall say, would God it were morning, for the fear of your heart wherewith you shall fear, and for the sight of your eyes which you shall see. And the Lord shall bring you into Egypt again with ships. By the way thereof I spoke unto you. You shall see it no more again. And there you shall be sold unto your enemies for bondmen and bondwoman, and no man shall buy you. Wow. No security, no contentment, no peace of mind. For the rebel, nothing but worry, despair, and the fear of losing their life. That's what's going to occupy their minds, and what did occupy their minds, and it's no different today. Israel will hope that the future may bring a measure of improvement, but it won't. In the morning, they'll wish for night. In the night, they'll wish for morning. And on it goes, because it's all bad all the time, because they walked away from God. What a stupid thing for anyone to do, then or today. It's a good way to throw away your life.